We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15. We shall read from verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Pharisees and scribes murmured about the Savior. They were offended because he was having close dealings with sinners, those who were considered the lower classes spiritually of society. They were the morally abandoned of society. And because of the general principle that a man is known by the company he keeps, they thought, or they claimed, that the Lord must have a secret sympathy with their character. But they were wrong. Christ did not have sympathy with their character, but he did have compassion on their condition. It was a divine pity that drew these sinners to the Savior. Yes, Christ is willing to receive sinners. He is willing to have close dealings with them, not to keep company with them in their sin, but to save them from their sin. He is the doctor who is willing to have sick patients come close so that he can provide a cure. The Lord Jesus receives sinners to save them. The Lord Jesus receives sinners to sanctify them. So when the enemies of Christ said this, this man receiveth sinners, yes, they were offended, but Christ did not refute them. He did not say that they were mistaken. What they said was truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, this man, does receive sinners. He does eat with them. He does have close dealings with them. And his love is an active love, going out to the sinner and receiving the sinner. And he explains by three following parables his method and his reason. The first of these two parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin, shows his seeking love, his active pursuit and seeking of the sinner. And the last parable, the prodigal son, shows his receiving love. He is welcoming sinners. It is true, this man receiveth sinners, and he actually eats with them. He has fellowship with them. What a wonder this is, a declaration of the purpose of Christ and his method and what he does for salvation. And this is a truth that comes out of the mouth of enemies. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And we would like to consider, first of all, this man, who this person is, this man. And secondly, the reception of sinners. This man receiveth sinners. And thirdly, the blessing of fellowship. He receives sinners and he eats with them. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The person, the reception, and the blessing. These publicans and sinners were drawing near to Christ. This was an ongoing thing. It was not a single event. The Greek shows us that it's the imperfect tense, which means it is continuing. It was an ongoing thing. It's one of the most interesting verb tenses in the Greek. You can look at it and see this was an ongoing thing. They kept on coming. They continued to draw near to Jesus. But the question is really, why were they drawing near to Christ? Well, perhaps they themselves could not explain why. They could not tell the reason. But no doubt they could feel what it was. They could feel there was pity in Christ. There was compassion. But there was also majesty combined with it. They were drawing near to him. They could sense, as it were, the grace and the love from Christ drawing them to him. This is why they were attracted. This man receiveth sinners. The reason that they were drawing near to Christ was explained by from the word from the mouth of the enemy. They were drawing near to him because he was receiving them. He was welcoming them. Unlike the Pharisees expelled them. The Pharisees put these sinners away from them, but Christ was receiving them. A well-known commentator elaborates upon what feelings these sinners must have had when they were drawing near, and as to the reason why they were drawing near to Christ. What else was it, he says, but the discovery in him of a compassion for their case that they never saw in anyone else? Everyone else seemed to be hardened against them. It even seemed heaven and earth were both shut against us, and we were ready to conclude that we were outcasts from both, and we must live on in this wretched life we are living, and then lie down and die without hope. That's how they felt. They saw themselves sinners, abandoned, outcasts, rejected by heaven and earth both. But compassion for the chief of sinners beams in that eye and streams forth from those lips. God is in that heart, heaven in that voice. As he speaks, God himself seems to draw near even to us and to say to us in accents of melting love, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." They felt that they were cast off. They were abandoned by society. They found that only Christ really cared for them. They were like David, who said in Psalm 142, "No man cared for my soul." But they see someone who has compassion, someone who is actually more than a man, because it seems that God himself has come down to them. So they could not perhaps describe and articulate what was drawing them, but they could see this, as the officer said later on, "No man ever spake as this man. There is power in his words. There is sweetness coming from his lips that is captivating us and drawing us near to him." Does this describe you? Have you ever felt any of this? Are you a sinner drawing near to Christ? "Then drew near. They kept drawing near unto him, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." And this was so unlike the Pharisees. This is why they murmured. This is why they were offended. This is their reaction. They saw this spectacle of sinners coming to Christ, and they didn't like it, and they said, "This man receiveth sinners. Can you believe it? He is receiving sinners and eating with them." Well, they would never do such a thing. There was a Pharisee named Simon, and he had asked Jesus, well, he was a teacher, to come to a meal with him. But as they sat together to partake of the dinner, there was a woman who was a well-known woman being a sinner. She was a sinner, and Simon knew that, but he supposed that Jesus should have known that. Whether it was because of her reputation or the way she looked, whatever it was, Simon, you remember, said, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Well, Simon the Pharisee would have nothing to do with her, but Christ would. She drew near to him, and he received her. She had a broken heart for sin. She was weeping, and the tears were falling onto his feet, and she was kissing his feet and wiping them with the hairs of her head. Jesus had compassion. Jesus spoke kindly to this woman and did not drive her away. like Simon would have done. Christ was showing in this activity, this situation, that he was welcoming sinners. Truly, the Pharisees were right when they said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." This man, and they did see him as a man, and he was a true man. He was not mere man. He possessed the divine nature as well. He is God, and no wonder. Grace is poured into his lips. He is fairer than the children of men. And he is blessed forever. But he was a man. He had their nature. And being a man, he had a fellow feeling with the creatures that he had made. So the one who is calling sinners like you and me to come to him has our nature. That's the marvel. He possesses human nature. The divine Savior is a man, and he's calling sinners of mankind to himself. Are we being drawn to him? Can it be said of us, "Then drew near unto him all the sinners to hear him"? Now, this man receiveth sinners, and humanity is an emblem of compassion. The four living creatures in the book of Revelation, one of them had the face of a man, and that symbolizes compassion. Humanity is a symbol of compassion. And when a person is inhuman, that person is not treating his fellow human beings with compassion, not as someone like himself in a similar condition. Well, the Lord Jesus, being a man and being God, he understands humanity. No one better understands the needs of mankind than Jesus Christ. He has true and full compassion upon sinners like you and me. Well, the Lord Jesus, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And we're thinking about him, this man, thinking about his compassion and his willingness to receive sinners. The Lord Jesus had pity. He had compassion. He felt for sinners around him. When the multitudes were in the desert and there was no food for them, he didn't send them away fasting. He didn't send them to the villages to buy food. But he provided for them there on the spot. He cared for them. And he taught them. He gave to them the bread of life. He was seeing the multitudes as sheep without a shepherd, being full of compassion for these poor people all around him, seeing their plight, seeing their need, recognizing their condition, he calls them to have rest in himself. He came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came to save sinners. He came to heal sinners. The poor leper came to him and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus was moved with compassion and stretched forth his hand and touched him and healed him. See how manifest is the pity and compassion of Christ to sinners. Shouldn't this draw us to him? "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." They were coming to hear him. They were listening to his teaching. Then all the publicans and sinners came to hear him. There's something in that little word, all. They were all coming. There was the drunkard and the swearer. They were coming. The Sabbath breaker and the adulterer, the cantankerous, the cheat, the liar. They were all coming. And he was receiving them. Wouldn't it be a good thing that if a person came to the city and said, "Here in Auckland, where are all the sinners? I thought Auckland had a lot of sinners." And the answer would be, "Well, they're all coming to Jesus." "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." They were coming to Jesus. What a great crowd that must have been. And they were all saying in their souls, "There is something in, in this man that is drawing us to him, something that is attracting us. It must be his speech. Never man spoke like him before, and no one showed such compassion to us as he is. Well, the Lord Jesus called them. As I said, he recognized their condition, and he called them as they were. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He sees that they're laboring. He sees that they're burdened. They are loaded with guilt, loaded with feelings of exasperation or brokenness. They are overwhelmed. They're burdened. He knows that. And he's calling them to him. Oh, what infinite knowledge Christ has. Your minister doesn't know everything about you. Perhaps he would like to learn more, but Jesus already knows everything about you, and he can reach your case exactly as it is. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and we're all lost and ruined sinners by nature. But he can save us, he can find us, and he will find us exactly as we are, and that's the only way to come to him, as a poor sinner having nothing, coming to Jesus for everything that is spiritual and saving. What knowledge he has, recognizing the spiritual poverty and the wretched condition of the weary sinner, and even in the words in which the call comes to us, the very language of the invitation is so sweet and inviting. Come to me. I have what you need. You will find satisfaction and rest, as well as forgiveness and grace in me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Yes, the Lord Jesus shows his gentleness as well. I am meek and lowly in heart. And that, of course, is primarily to show us that we are to follow his meekness, that we are to be gentle like him. But it shows that he is approachable, that being gentle, he is inviting us to come to him, and removing all the obstructions and all that which would naturally prevent our coming. The Lord Jesus is making our approach to him very easy in that sense, with entreaty, with an invitation, calling us to come as we are, not to make ourselves better first and then come, but to come just as we are, as sinners, to a Savior. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Lord Jesus calls sinners by his word and spirit. He is not like the great emperors and monarchs or dictators or captains of armies and roughly deal with people and coerce them into yielding obedience to the ruler. But the Lord Jesus speaks with a loving, inviting voice, calling sinners to himself. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. It's as if he's not ever speaking loudly, although he did at times. He would call people's attention. He did speak loudly. But of course, it's not the volume of the voice, but it's the spiritual power that captivates and draws sinners. And the Lord Jesus is willing to have sinners come to him. He is willing to save. And he will turn no one away who does come to him. Even those who have wrong views of things, if they sincerely come to him, he will teach them. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was emphasizing miracles and the commission of Christ. His emphasis was wrong. He should be thinking about the needs of his soul. But Jesus didn't say, "Go away, Nicodemus." He taught Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Yes, Jesus was faithful to him. Jesus was teaching him. And are we willing to be taught? Are we willing to be shown the truth? Are we willing to be shown our state before God, sincerely asking the Lord, show me myself? Jesus will not turn us away. He will receive us. He is willing to receive sinners. What if you knew a doctor that could provide a cure for you, and so he had the ability to help you in your physical condition? But the great question for you was he willing to help you? Did he have time to help you? Maybe there are so many people that he will never receive you because so many are coming before you. Well, here is a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the divine physician. He is able to receive sinners. He has power and ability, but he is also willing to receive sinners. The leper that came to Jesus said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knew that Jesus had the power. Jesus was able to help, able to cure, able to cleanse. Ah, but was he willing? Was he willing to help this poor man in his need? Jesus was moved with compassion. He says, I will. Be thou clean. He is willing to cure, willing to save. He is more willing to save you than you are to be saved by him. There's infinite willingness in the heart of Christ to receive sinners. This man receiveth sinners. So he gives us his word. He shows us his earnestness. He assures us that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And he's calling with all solemnity indeed, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Does the Lord have pleasure in your condemnation? Does he delight in sinners' suffering? He says, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He delights in sinners coming. He delights in sinners coming to Christ and being saved. And he says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, come, friend, come to Christ. Draw near to him. He will receive you. This man receiveth sinners. He says, assuring us in his word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And is it possible that the word of Jesus Christ should fail? Has there ever been a time in which a sinner came to Jesus and Jesus drove that sinner away? Or that he did not receive that sinner, but there was some oversight and he missed that sinner that came to him? Never. Him that cometh to me, I will not at all cast out. How clear, how full is this promise. He receives all who come. He turns no one away who comes. Jesus is willing to receive sinners. He receives all who come. And he says to us that we will not seek him in vain. We do not seek the Lord and seek to come without a response on his part. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. The Lord speaks right things, and it is impossible for God to lie. He will always fulfill his promise. It is not vain. It is not vain to seek Christ. It is not vain to draw near. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. And he has made it clear in his word that there is a foundation for receiving sinners. There is a basis for welcoming sinners and saving sinners. And what is that foundation? What is that basis? It is the sacrifice which he offered up of himself. God has provided a way whereby sinners may come to him and be saved by him. And that way is Christ. That way is Christ crucified. Christ dying on the cross has opened up the way for sinners to have access to God through Christ. By him also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Jesus is the door. He has opened up the path of entry into the favor of God. This man receiveth sinners. It is by the blood and the righteousness of Christ that sinners are received into the favor of God. They are welcome to Christ, and Christ will receive them because his blood was shed for sinners who believe in him. This man receiveth sinners. He himself is the propitiation. That word, remember, is to turn away the wrath of God. Propitiation is the means of turning away the wrath of God, and that is by Christ absorbing it all, and so it is turned away from believers. Christ endured God's wrath and curse in the room and place of the guilty, so that sinners like you and me would not have to suffer the punishment we deserve to all eternity, that we would be set free, that we would have liberty, we would have joy in heaven with Christ forever. Oh, draw near to Christ. This man receiveth sinners. He suffered for sinners. The penalty of death was inflicted on him. The sword of divine justice went out against him, that it would not go against you if you believe in him. Come to him. Shelter beneath the precious blood of the Lamb. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come to him. He will give you the Spirit, and you will live for him and be assured that you're not condemned. Jesus has authority to receive sinners. He has done all that was necessary to save sinners because he finished the work given him to do. He died on the cross. He fulfilled the law. He satisfied justice. He purchased reconciliation. That was all in the assignment of the work God the Father gave him. Jesus finished that work. He accomplished redemption. And therefore he has the right to receive all who come to him. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That is the word of Christ. And therefore he says, come unto me, come unto me. And that is what we consider secondly, this particular action, receiving sinners, and with emphasis upon sinners. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The publicans and sinners drew near to him. The publicans, you know, were tax collectors. They worked for Roman authority, and they were the Jews that were tax collectors were considered traitors, working for a foreign government. Some of them compromised and were dishonest, charging more than was actually required. And so they filled their pockets, being dishonest and cheats. They were looked down on by society. And sinners, well, they were grouped with sinners. Those who had bad morals, they were guilty of vices. They were rejected by society. You would never see them at the synagogue. Or if you did see them there, they would no doubt stand out. They were amongst the indifferent, the careless, or perhaps those who despaired. Probably said, there's no hope for me. I've gone too far in sin. But there was a welcome for them, a welcome for these publicans, a welcome for these sinners. This man receiveth sinners. And he receives sinners, even those who come to him, while those who are self-righteous and looked good on the outside were rejected. And Jesus makes that clear to the self-righteous when he says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 31, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. So when that woman who was a sinner, whether she was really a harlot or not, she was welcome. She was contrite. She had a sense of sin. She was weeping. Are you weeping over your sins? Are you broken within? Are you a humbled sinner? Oh, these are the sinners that will receive a welcome. We're not saying don't come to Jesus unless you're broken, but we are saying that these broken-hearted sinners, they are in Christ. They are welcome. They are looking to Jesus' blood alone. They are broken-hearted because of sin, and Christ has them as his own. This man receiveth sinners, but he receives all who come. Whatever the category, whatever description is labeled upon the sinner, the ignorant, the hardened, the cruel, Jesus receives sinners, all who come to him. He receives the ignorant, those who feel they don't know much at all. If they come to Jesus, he receives them. There was a man who was a rich man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was in charge of all these other tax collectors. He must have really been looked down on. And he was curious. He didn't know, who is this man Jesus in Jericho that the crowds are applauding and following? Well, he went to find out. He was ignorant. And Jesus received him. Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus. He wants to stay with Zacchaeus in his home. And oh, how Zacchaeus learned from then on. He learned most of all that this man, Jesus, receiveth sinners. There was a hardened man, the jailer in Philippi. He was a callous and cruel man. How hard he was when he locked up Paul and Silas. He didn't care about his prisoners. He just cared about keeping his job. That was enough for him. Just live for the day and get his payment and get a good night's sleep and not have to worry about anything. Well, he made their feet fast in the stocks. But when the earthquake came, he nearly committed suicide. And then he saw himself within a step of hell. How awakened he was. He's not hard right now. He's broken. And he's falling down before Paul and Silas. And he's saying, sir, what must I do to be saved? Have you ever cried out in the depth of your soul, what must I do to be saved? Well, then there are the hardened, the ignorant, and there are the wasters. And these are welcome when they come. The prodigal son I'm thinking of, someone who should have known better. Well, he wanted everything right now. He was not like his older brother who did everything right. The prodigal son, he saw his older brother's example and he didn't follow it. He didn't care. But he left, went to the city and spent his money on riotous, wasteful, extravagant living. But when he came to himself, he saw that he was a bankrupt sinner. And he said, what am I doing here? I will go to my father's house. And was there a welcome for him? Was he received, or did the father say, you've been gone too long and you've wasted all the money. You don't have a place to stay. No, he was received. He was received into the father's house. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And there was a celebration. They made merry. They rejoiced that this son who was lost is now found. And there will be a welcome for you, no matter what your condition. If you come to Jesus, this man receiveth sinners. He receives the vilest sinners. He receives those who have gone into great heights or depths of sin. Manasseh was saved. He was the king of sinners. He made the streets of Jerusalem run with blood of those whom he murdered. But when he repented and he turned to the Lord, he was received. Mary Magdalene, out of whom the Lord cast seven devils, she was received. The woman of Samaria who had five husbands, the Lord spoke to her. She responded. She put her trust in the Lord. She was welcome. Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. And she rejoiced and went into the city and told the men about Christ. Yes, the Lord receives sinners. Sinners of every description. Those who are vile and those who are proud. Even those who are self-righteous. If they turn from their sin and they come to Jesus, they are received. This man receiveth sinners. He receives Saul of Tarsus. He who was persecuting the church, he was doing everything he could to waste it. He wanted to see the church erased from the map. He didn't care about Christ and his followers. He persecuted them. But when he was awakened, and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was surrendering to Christ, and Christ received him. This man receiveth sinners. Oh, he has authority, he has power. Power on earth to receive, power on earth to forgive. When he receives sinners, he gives them blessings. He blesses them with forgiveness. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He receives sinners so as to pardon them, to justify them, so that their sins are put away. He said to the woman who was a sinner, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven. Go in peace. The Lord Jesus conveys comfort to the soul. He gives peace, the peace that is through his blood, a peace which passeth all understanding. And it comes with his invitation, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Whoever believes in Jesus will receive forgiveness. Oh, come to him, trust in his blood. You will be welcome, you will be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When a sinner comes to Jesus, he receives him or her into his family, the spiritual household, the family of God, so that he gives them a right and a title to all the privileges of the sons of God. Oh, what a blessing the Lord Jesus gives. What benefits and gifts he loads us with when we come to him. Will this not draw you? Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And when a sinner comes and they are received, and they will always be received when they come, he will sanctify them. He will renew sinners by his Spirit. He will conform them to himself and make them more like Christ, more and more. As a man would be carving a statue, and he has the model in front of him, a person that he's trying to make a statue. Well, he's chiseling and he's carving, and soon the likeness of that person is beginning to appear more and more. Well, that's a great blessing in sanctification. Christ is fashioning us and molding us and shaping us to be more like himself. Oh, come to Jesus and he will do this wonderful work of sanctification, this free grace of God. Oh, yes, he receives and he washes all who come. The Lord Jesus Christ does a complete work, and he receives all who come, no matter how great their sin is, no matter how filthy they are. Paul the Apostle makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, when he solemnly declares, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? If they go on being unrighteous, if they go on in these sins, he says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Well, the tax collectors were, some of them, extortioners. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Does this describe us? Are we living in these open sins? Or secretly? Ah, we go on like that, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, he says, and such were some of you. The Corinthians, to whom he writes, they were believers, they were saved, and yet Some of them were like this. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus will receive sinners who come. He will wash them. He will give them repentance. He will justify them. He will forgive them. He will sanctify them. He will cleanse them. These people that Paul just mentioned are the very people that Christ saves. There is hope for you and me. There is hope for sinners who come to Christ. Not only he receives them, but he has fellowship with sinners. And that's the third thing. This man, the Pharisees and scribes were murmuring, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They could not imagine that this great master, known for his holy character, he was eating with sinners. He was eating with publicans. This was a wonderful sight, but it really amazed and even offended the Pharisees and the scribes. They were murmuring because they didn't like what they saw. Jesus welcoming sinners, Jesus having dealings with sinners, Jesus eating with sinners. Now, of course, some people might abuse this wonderful picture of Christ receiving sinners and eating with them. And they will say, well, since Jesus was in the company of sinners, so can we. As long as we're trying to do them good, we can be with these sinners wherever we find them. Of course, that's wrong. Notice how the sinners drew near to Jesus. Matthew the publican invited sinners into his home. Yes, Jesus had dealings with sinners, but they drew near to him. And he ate with them, yes, but they knew who he was. And the reason that Jesus had dealings with them was not so that he would associate with them in their sin. Well, they knew better than that, but so that he could teach them. They drew near so that they would learn from him. And let us make sure, those of us who do have dealings with others in the world, that we're not making use of a text like this to be nonchalant about dealing with sinners, especially in questionable groups and practices. Oh, it's very clear they knew who Jesus was and they wanted to come to him because they wanted to be saved. And that's the question for us. Do we want to be saved? And are we drawing near to Jesus? And do we desire to have fellowship with him? This is the marvel. Jesus had fellowship with these sinners. What hope there is for even believers who have gone month after month and year after year in their profession and they're seeing their sins more and more. Ah, this man receiveth sinners. He will have fellowship with you still. Even though you see your sins more than ever before, he will still have communion with you. He will still communicate his grace to you, and you, by his grace, will respond to that in love and admiration and with renewed desire to go on in the ways of the Lord from strength to strength, seeing your sin more clearly because he gives more and more light, but also, by his grace, turning from sin more and more and dying unto sin. Let that be your purpose as never before. Here was the marvel. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He eats with them. He came to the house of Zacchaeus. And what did he do? He was staying in his house. And no doubt was entertained by Zacchaeus and provided for. And yet this was the reason why the Jews murmured, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. But they were wrong. Well, they were partly right and partly wrong. He was in the home of a sinner. But there was more than that. He was in the home of a repenting sinner. He stands up right then and there. And what does he tell the people? Well, he tells the Lord Jesus, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus responds, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. By his fruits it became apparent that he's one of the children of God. And that is what will happen with every sinner who comes to Jesus. The fruits will appear. It will be known by their lives that they are different, that they're the Lord's people. And it begins by this man receiving sinners. What a joyous meeting that was. What fellowship they had. And this is what Jesus promises to you and me when he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He promises this spiritual feast. He promises this fellowship that centers upon himself because he is the bread of life. And he offers that bread to you and me. And all who come for it will receive it and enjoy spiritual blessing in their soul. Oh, pray then that your heart would be open to receive Christ, that he would receive you, and that he would provide for you all the spiritual blessings that he promises. Yes, spiritual blessings, spiritual nourishment, joy unspeakable, and receiving the fullest satisfaction in our souls. And though we do not see Jesus here on earth, yet the apostle says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is glory in this reception. Oh, you know that you have come to Jesus when you're amazed and you're astonished and you feel both your heart being drawn to him and you're amazed that he would receive you and your heart goes to him in love. These are evidences, along with repentance and a desire to live for Christ and to be taught by Christ, evidences of having been welcomed and having entered into the door of salvation. Yes, there is true blessedness and satisfaction given to all who come. He says, eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. And then those who come, they will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness through Christ himself. Even as with marrow and with fat my soul shall filled be, then shall my mouth with joyful lips sing praises unto thee. And there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Are you a repenting sinner? Are you drawing near to Christ? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, we've tried to consider the man and the reception and the blessing. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Here is a great wonder. The tax collectors, the publicans, sinners, they thought that they would be cast away forever. No man did for my soul take care. They knew that God is holy. They had something of the knowledge of God, the righteous lives of good people around them was a continual rebuke to the way they lived their lives. But no one seemed to invite them. They were not welcomed by any of the Pharisees. But they see this one, this man, Christ Jesus, receiving sinners and eating with them, and that drew them. Is it drawing us? That's the question. Yes, the call is given to everyone to come to Jesus, but we should examine ourselves. Are we being drawn to him? Is Christ precious to us? Do we see the wonder, anything of the wonder of God manifest in the flesh, inviting sinners and even dying for sinners and reconciling sinners to God? Does this draw our hearts? Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And do we desire to forsake sin? Are we like Zacchaeus and ready to say, I will do what God wants me to do. I'm resolved to do so. By his grace, like Saul of Tarsus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Or are we still hardened? Are we still rebellious before God? Or do we think we're seeking the Lord, but it's by fits and starts? Sometimes we're serious, and other times we, to say so, couldn't care less. And what is the behind it? Maybe it's despair. Maybe it's hopelessness. Or maybe it's the love of sin. But this amounts to carelessness about our souls and how we need to be awakened to the claims of God upon us. We are sinners. We're on the way to eternity. If we die this moment without Christ, we would drop into hellfire. Oh, how solemn is that thought. God's wrath hanging over us, hell beneath us. Any moment we could be flung into the outer darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, let the truth of God and by the Spirit of God awaken you, that you would see yourself a sinner, that you would see your need of Christ, that you would go to him. And when you go to him, there's a welcome for you. And perhaps there are others who are concerned about their souls, but they're still waiting. They're waiting for some extraordinary event. And maybe when this dramatic thing happens in my life, then I'll come to Jesus. But I would say, friend, that there is an extraordinary thing that has already taken place. It's right here in God's word. This man receiveth sinners. Extraordinary. Something marvelous has taken place, and that is Jesus Christ died on the cross. This is the most amazing thing that ever occurred in the history of the world. And may this enlighten you. May the Spirit of God open your eyes to be amazed. And when you're amazed and speechless, your heart will be drawn to him. This man receiveth sinners. So what are you waiting for? Draw near to him. He will receive you. Come to him. He will welcome you. But you say, can it really be for me? Can it really be for me? Well, there was once a girl named Edith who went to hear a sermon. And the minister gave out his text. And it was this text: this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And she thought her name was in the text. Edith, with them. Edith, with these sinners. Jesus receiveth sinners and Edith too. Jesus is receiving sinners and me too. That's what she thought. Well, she was wrong in how she heard. She heard wrongly, but she was right in how she responded. She was overwhelmed with joy, and she sought the Lord, and the Lord was found of her. And she was one of God's people, full of joy. Why? Because her name was right next to the word sinner. And she received Christ, and Christ received her. And if you don't mind being called a sinner, and if you're a sinner looking to Jesus, then you're a sinner who is welcomed, a sinner who is received. And that's what you need to lay hold of. Lay hold of this truth as if your very name was in this text. This man receiveth sinners, and you're one of them, and I'm one of them. This man receiveth me because he's offered to you, and you are invited to come as if you were the only sinner that ever lived and that ever heard this gospel. Christ is calling you, and you personally. Personalize this truth. This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth me. And I will be saved if I look to him, because he's calling me and he's calling me now. This man receiveth sinners. And why not me? Remember poor Joseph. He heard a sermon on the text, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he left the sermon thinking, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he thought to himself, why not poor Joseph? Why not me? And someone heard him say that, and he said, well, Joseph, you need to exercise faith. And Joseph said, poor Joseph can exercise nothing. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and why not poor Joseph? Well, there was faith in that experience. His hope was in Christ, and Christ can save you, and Christ can save me. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He deals with them. He will receive you and have dealings with you. Only come to him. As Pharaoh told the Egyptians when they were asking for bread, he said, go unto Joseph. And so that is what the minister is saying to you. We're directing you to Christ. Go unto Jesus. Go to him for righteousness. Go to him for salvation. Go to him for forgiveness. Come and welcome to the Lord Jesus Christ. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, may it please thee to bless thy holy truth. Oh, that we would put our amen to that truth. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That we would have fellowship, and coming to Jesus we would have blessing, and coming to Jesus we would know that we are thy people. Oh, that we would praise thee for this truth. Oh, that we would embrace it and live according to it in our lives. Oh, that we would be crying to thee that thou wouldst save us and that thou wouldst strengthen us to do thy will. Hear us, we pray. Pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.